Your mom lent money to her granddaughter.
My mom's on limited income.
A daughter protects her mother's retirement.
When my mother was short on bills, I would help her out.
But her niece...
And now you want her to pay you back the money that she borrowed from your mother.
Makes it hard to keep up.
Then I find out that she keeps coming and borrowing money from her. And there's times when my mom says her refrigerator is empty.
Judge Judy.
You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. This is Judge Judy.
Irene Reagan is suing her niece, 21-year-old Cheyenne Reagan, for money loaned to Cheyenne by Irene's elderly mother.
Order. All rise.
This is case number 37 on the calendar, the matter of Reagan versus Reagan.
Expert.
You're welcome, Judge. Party's been sworn in. You may be seated, ma'am. Have a seat, please.
Miss Reagan, this is your niece.
Yes.
And this, I assume, is your mother?
Yes.
That's your grandma?
Yes.
How old are you?
I'm 21.
Miss Reagan, this is your claim that your mom lent money to her granddaughter. How much?
$1,500.
When?
June of 2016.
And you didn't know about it?
Correct.
Why would you think you would know about it?
Because whenever my mom comes into something, my mom's on limited income. And when she comes into a big bill, like tires for a car, or maintenance for the car, or a vet bill, I help her out. And if she did not loan my...
Just a second. The fact that you may help your mother out is irrelevant. Totally not relevant. Just wouldn't be. Anyway, this is what you claim you did. You took over the loan because you figured that your mother would not pursue the loan, right?
Correct.
And now you want her to pay you back the money that she borrowed from your mother.
Correct.
Okay. What's your source of income?
Social Security only.
Would you step up, please? Your last name is?
Reagan.
Reagan? How old are you, Miss Reagan?
79.
Did you work? Are you a working person?
Long time ago.
How long ago?
Turn of the century.
What kind of work did you do?
I worked for Walmart.
For how many years?
Three.
Before that?
I worked in a bowling alley.
So you were a working gal?
Yes.
Your husband, did he work?
Yes.
Is he still alive?
No.
When did he pass?
2005.
Do you live in your own home?
Yes.
Who do you live with?
I used to live with Cheyenne. But she moved out.
She lived with you?
Yes.
For how long?
Before she turned 21.
So she lived with you all of her life? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
So you were actually more like a parent to your granddaughter if she lived with you?
Yes.
Not with her mother, just with you?
Yes.
Now, I want you to tell me about this $1,500 that you gave to Cheyenne in 2016, which is 3 years ago. She was still living with you?
Yes.
And?
She worked at FedEx. And she had to catch a bus, and she had to make a number of transfers. So she needed a car to get on time to her job.
So tell me about it.
She found this Jeep, and she liked it. She asked me for the money, and I gave it to her, and she paid the lady off.
And she continued to live with you for another 2 years?
Yes.
And for the other 2 years that she lived with you, she worked?
Yes.
Did she ever give you any money back for the loan?
$200.
When did she give you back $200?
During the year, she gave me just maybe $50, $25.
You remember that she gave you $50 and $25, or you're making that up?
Well, no. I mean, that's what she'd pay me, whatever she had.
I don't believe that, you know.
Okay.
That part of the story I don't believe, Mrs. Reagan.
Okay.
When did your daughter find out about this money that you had given your granddaughter?
This year.
This year? And how did she find out that you had given the money to your granddaughter?
Talking to her sister.
Tell me about that.
I have a sister that lives in Roseburg. And my mom and her have a tumultuous relationship. And my mom had called my sister Heather. And they had a conversation. And it came out that my mom said that she had lent Cheyenne $1,500. But she didn't say for what. And my sister called me up and said, oh, by the way, Cheyenne, you know, borrowed $1,500 from your mom. And I immediately called my mom. It's like, did you? And my mom says, yes, I did. So me and her and I got into a fight. And I...
Why?
Because my mom, like I said, she lives on Social Security. And it's not a lot.
And when there's times when my mom says her refrigerator is empty, I get mad, and then I find out that she keeps coming and borrowing money from her. And I tell her, Cheyenne's got this job at FedEx. She works double shifts. She doesn't need to borrow money from you. But she does, and I don't know what she does with her money, but she keeps getting money from her. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Ms. Reagan, why don't you have a seat?
So I get frustrated with my mom, and I say, I might as well not even give you money. I might as well just give her the money, because it goes from me to her, straight over to her anyway.
Ms. Reagan, this is your problem. It's clear to me that your mother was a parent to your niece. It's also clear to me that you feel, because you're older, that you have a certain responsibility if your mother is in need, so you help her. That doesn't mean that you can get in between this. You shouldn't get in between this. It boggles my mind to think that your mother would have been in your position, standing as plaintiff against her daughter slash granddaughter, who she raised and who she supported. I mean, she lived with her until she was 21 years old. You shouldn't have gotten involved. Don't get involved anymore. Don't get involved anymore. Who do you live with now?
I live with my fiance, Kyle.
Does he work?
Yes.
Do you work?
No.
Why not?
Earlier in the year, I was actually pregnant, so I stopped working because I wanted to put all my time into it and try to make the home better. And he was supporting me at the time.
And now?
And now I'm seeking work.
Do you still have the car that your grandmother bought you?
Yes.
You're using it for work?
No, it doesn't work anymore.
You're still living with your fiance?
Yes.
You gotta leave your grandmother alone. Just financially, she loves you. But it seems clear to me that sometimes she needs financial assistance and that your aunt gives her that financial assistance if she doesn't have enough. She has difficulty saying no to you, so don't put her in that position. Do you understand?
Yes.
Very good. Ms. Reagan, you shouldn't have interjected yourself in here. I understand that you think your mother was being taken advantage of by her granddaughter. This isn't a granddaughter who pops in and out of her life. This is a child that she raised with her husband. That was like their own child, just like you are. She's just not old enough yet. Maybe she'll get there. Maybe she'll be able to help. You shouldn't have injected yourself into this situation. It's the wrong thing to do. Your case is dismissed. We're done.
I desire excuse. You may step out.
She thinks that I'm taking advantage of my grandma.
It's just business with me and Cheyenne.
She did say she was going to pay it back, and she didn't.
My sister, she has nothing to do with Cheyenne. They don't talk.
I need to improve my relationship with them.
I hope she's more truthful.
I'm done with Cheyenne.
It's just family matters.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Heath versus Curiel. Step forward.
Jenny Heath is suing her ex-boyfriend, Anthony Curiel, for a loan to pay for surgery. Anthony is countersuing for money taken without permission.
Miss Heath, you and Mr. Curiel were a couple for a period of time and lived together. While you were living together, Mr. Curiel needed some surgery, according to your complaint. And while he had insurance, there was some of the expenses for the surgery that were uncovered. And it is your claim that you made a loan to him for the differential between the insurance and what was owed to the various providers. I'd like to see proof of what bills you actually paid, to what facility, and the checks for those.
Okay. So that's one receipt, and then on the back is my bank statement. The other medical expense, they did not receive, or they did not send the receipt. That is just one receipt of two different payments.
What kind of work do you do?
I'm a teacher.
And you, sir?
Tech field technician.
What kind of surgery did you have?
Reconstruction knee surgery.
Why?
I tore all my ligaments in my left knee playing a pickup softball game.
What kind of insurance did you have?
At the time, it was like Obamacare, HealthSmart, sign-up health plans. And the way the doctor was telling me that it would be better just to pay cash instead of using my insurance because it would cost more going through my insurance than it would paying straight cash. So that's when we decided that it was smarter to do it that way than to try to use my insurance.
How long were you in the hospital?
Just for that procedure day, but I was out of work for 4 months.
So what you're telling me is Stonebridge Surgery Center told you not to use your insurance?
Correct.
And that was the billing office?
Yes, ma'am.
And you have no objection if I verify that with them?
Correct.
Okay, you have no objection to getting on the phone and telling them that they can give me any information I want?
No, I don't, but whether they will or not, I'm not sure.
Okay, you chose to pay cash. Were you reimbursed from insurance for any part of your bill?
No, ma'am.
So you didn't put it through your insurance even to get reimbursed for any part of it?
No, ma'am.
You want to explain why?
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And later today...
Are you dating other people?
It wasn't ever made exclusive.
So you were dating other people?
Yes.
He had to know that you needed money.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh is not an answer.
Yes.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy.
Jenny Heath is suing her ex-boyfriend, Anthony Curiel, for a loan to pay for surgery. Anthony is countersuing for money taken without permission.
Now, were you reimbursed from insurance for any part of your bill?
No, ma'am.
So you didn't put it through your insurance even to get reimbursed for any part of it?
No, ma'am.
You want to explain why?
Just because it wasn't very good insurance.
What was the name of the insurance carrier?
It was United Healthcare, but it had something else involved with it. It wasn't directly United Healthcare. I honestly can't remember what it was.
What kind of insurance do you have now?
Cigna.
Who were you working for in 2017?
AT&T.
When had you started to work for AT&T?
I was with them in 2015.
And when did you cease working for AT&T?
I'm still there.
And that's a full-time job?
Correct.
And is what you're telling me that in 2017, AT&T did not have good insurance?
I just wasn't going through them, no.
I don't believe any of this case. So I'm going to let you go back to the small claims court where you came from. Do you understand?
Okay.
Is that okay with you?
It's fine with me.
Great. Bye.
Bye.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Byrne versus Powell. Step forward.
Paul Byrne is suing his ex-girlfriend, Kelly Powell, for an unpaid loan to avoid eviction.
Mr. Byrne, what I gather from your complaint is that you and the defendant knew each other from school years ago. You reconnected on a dating website.
Correct.
When was it that you reconnected?
I believe the initial was probably the summer of 2016, I think.
When did you and the defendant start dating?
It would have been the next summer of 2017. I believe it was June.
And when did she tell you she was in financial trouble?
That would have been September of 2017.
When you started to date in June, was it an exclusive relationship or were you dating other people? I'll start with you. Were you dating other people?
It wasn't ever made exclusive.
So you were dating other people?
Yes.
And Ms. Powell, when you started to date Mr. Byrne, you told him it was not exclusive, that you were dating other people.
I don't think we ever got to a point where it was ever that conversation came up. Our dating, per se, was very on and off.
Explain that to me. Started dating in June, he said, of 2017.
We started hanging out probably a little bit before that, and then we'd went on a couple dates, but Paul would just kind of go ghost. I just wouldn't hear from him. No text messages, no nothing. And then he'd show up, he'd text me a day or two, and we'd talk about, why he wasn't answering text messages, and I'd give him another shot. And then we'd make plans for something. We had made plans to go to a local festival at home. And
month? Hmm? The month of the local festival?
Probably like middle to end of June. It's the Greek Fest.
Okay, so in June.
So we had made plans to go for probably a few days prior. And the day before, everything was kosher. And the day of Greek Fest, which was a Friday, didn't hear a single word from him. We were supposed to meet up at my friend Tiffany's house.
Okay, so that was June. What happened in July?
The same stuff kind of kept happening. We would talk for a few days, and then I wouldn't hear from him for a week.
Okay, and August?
Same situation. And then we kind of just stopped. We're like, this just isn't working. We're just going to be friends.
Okay, friends. So that was friends in August.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after you became friends, he had to know that you needed money.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to tell him you needed money.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh is not an answer.
Yes.
I'd like you to tell me when that conversation took place.
I came home and I had an eviction notice taped to my front door, and I had sent a Snapchat to a handful of my friends. It was a picture of the front of the eviction notice, and it said something along the lines of, if things couldn't get any worse.
So what happened? So you sent, among other people, you sent that copy of the eviction notice to the plaintiff.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh, is not an answer.
Yes.
And then what happened?
He responded the next day just saying that that kind of sucked, and if I needed any help, that he...
If what? Let's go slowly. He responded the next day and said...
That if I needed help, that he would be more than happy to help me.
And you said...
Not even really sure. I didn't take it. I didn't want it at the time. I was going to contact some local churches and see if I could find help.
So you said to him, I don't want it?
Yes.
And then?
We went golfing about a few
days.
Who
went golfing?
Paul and I.
Okay, so then after you got the eviction notice and said, I don't want your help, you played golf.
Mm-hmm.
And you went. And?
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
I received a email from my apartment complex saying that the balance had been paid in full. I wasn't sure how, and when I asked who it was from, they said it was from Paul Byrne.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy.
Paul Byrne says, ex-girlfriend Kelly Powell owes for a loan to pay her rent.
He called and asked you to go golfing, and you went. And?
We had a good time. We went golfing, and then I had a store meeting afterwards, so we left the golf course and I went to work.
And?
A few days later, I received a email from my apartment complex saying that the balance had been paid in full. I responded saying I wasn't sure how, and they said they received a check. And when I asked who it was from, they said it was from Paul Byrne.
Okay. Your version, Mr. Byrne.
Okay, so...
Now you're at the golf course.
Yep, it was established that she was going to borrow...
No, not established.
Oops, sorry.
I don't want to hear established.
Okay.
I want you to tell me what she said to you and what you said to her.
I said via text message, if you need help, or via social media, if you need help, please let me know. I just need it paid back within a reasonable amount
May
of time.
May I see it?
Yeah. And then that day
just
that we...
Just a second. First, show me that text message. Well, he says to you, geez, if you need a loan, seriously, just let me know and I'll help. Just need it paid back when convenient. I can read. And?
I wasn't taking it as a loan. I didn't ask him for a
just
loan.
Just a second. But you did receive this as a result of sending him a copy of your eviction notice.
Correct.
So you received something from him that says, geez, that's terrible. I can loan you the money, pay it back when convenient. And then you went to play golf.
Yes.
Now tell me what's next, because she forgot that text.
We went golfing. We did have a very lovely time golfing, love golf. I gave her the check that same night, and then...
Gave her a check.
Correct. Which she gladly accepted. We went our separate ways. She had her meeting. And then on October 2nd, it looks like, was the date that I wrote the check, and she cashed it a couple days later.
Did you have any subsequent conversation with her via email or text message?
Yes, I do.
I'd like to take a look at them.
Just give you all of them. And subsequently, she was buying herself jewelry while owing me the money. Okay.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
So he writes to you in March and April that he wants his money. And then on April 26th, he says, I've never felt so used. And you say to him, I have your money. Do you want cash or a money order? He would prefer cash. And you say, I can probably drop it off before I go to work. Did you write that to him?
Yes.
Did you bring him his money?
No.
How much was the check?
$1,105.83.
Judgment for the plaintiff. Thank you.
Thank you.
Excuse me, step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
I did lend money trying to help someone out.
His offer to help was awesome, and I really appreciate it.
Just trying to be a good person.
I think that he felt that if he were to help me, that it would help kind of rekindle our relationship.
That's absurd.
Obviously, there is no more friendship.
She is totally making that up. We had dissolved the relationship.
No more golfing.